T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback to California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday on the Damon Bruce Show?
So I know a lot of you are thinking, like, all right, how high were you and Albie when you came up with this one? The answer is not higher than usual. But we were sitting around the other day and thinking, what if some things around here were a little different? What if everything that we have been talking about because of this moment in time, what if that moment in time hadn't happened? And so we started with the premise in this opening, and it's the question that we asked each other a couple weeks ago. What if the Warriors had not drafted Steph Curry? What would that have meant for the Warriors? What would that have meant for Steph Curry? And I go back and I look at it, and Steph Curry's been so important to this team. Even if they had had all the other picks, even if everything else happened, but Curry didn't, I don't know if they've won a title. I don't know if they've won a title, even if they were able to lure Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant, without Steph Curry, didn't win nothing. So there's that angle to look at. I'm pretty sure the Warriors haven't won a title. If Curry was picked by the Timberwolves, do you realize that he would have been paired early on in his career with Kevin Love? Kevin Love, Al Jefferson, Brian Cardinal, Ryan Gomes would have been the starting five if Curry had ended up in Minnesota that year. Maybe that's where small ball gets invented. Maybe small ball's invented in Minnesota with Kevin Love playing the five there. I'll take this even further. If Curry had ended up in Minnesota, maybe Prince is still alive because he wouldn't have had to get to sleep that night. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Prince is still alive. That's how big of a deal this could have been. The truth is, though, as great as Curry is, the situations that these players step into and then how the situations form around them dictate their future as much as their talent does. Like, I'm not sure Steph Curry has exactly won a title anywhere else had he been drafted anywhere else in the 2009 draft, except for one place. And this is where things feel like we're starting to do acid. I'm not sure Curry's won a title unless Oklahoma City took him third overall instead of James Harden. Now, obviously, Harden was a much bigger prospect. Curry was, you know, hey, he fell to the Warriors at 9. How much of a prospect was he? Well, if we redrafted now, it would be very easy to make the argument that Curry, 7th overall, excuse me, thank you very much. If we redrafted right now, Curry's the number one pick in the draft over Harden. But maybe you still take Harden. What if Curry had been in Oklahoma City? What if that had happened? Do you realize that it would have been Curry, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant if he had been drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder? And that means maybe Harden falls. What if James Harden is a Golden State Warrior? James Harden, Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn, and Tyreek Evans. Any one of those players might have fallen to the Golden State Warriors had Steph Curry been picked before where the Warriors drafted him. By the way, if that did happen, if Harden were a career Warrior, it would have been very interesting to see what Mark Jackson did to unlock his talent. What Steve Kerr may have done to unlock Harden. I mean, Harden became a much better player as soon as Mike D'Antoni got to Houston. He really did. How many of these strip clubs on Broadway and Columbus have James Harden's Warrior jersey retired in the rafters? I still need a 30 for 30 on that. How much money do you need to spend in a Houston strip club to have your jersey retired there? The answer is a lot. A lot of money. You got a lot of girls on scholarship, James Harden, there's no doubt. So I think it's pretty safe to assume that Steph Curry would not have won back-to-back MVP titles. He would not have won 3 of 4 championships. I mean, maybe the butterfly effect of all of this is Steve Kerr is still a broadcaster at TNT. Like, if you didn't need to fire Mark Jackson because Mark Jackson and James Harden got along great, maybe Steve Kerr is still a broadcaster on TNT. Or maybe he got hired by the Knicks and has been fired by now. What if Curry had fallen to the Knicks? They had the next pick. Jordan Hill out of Arizona was the next pick after the Warriors took Curry. Curry in New York City, by the way, butterfly effect that. What does Curry in New York City mean? Well, it means Monte Ellis is a career Warrior. It means Andrew Bogut never shows up. It means Carmelo Anthony maybe never becomes a Knick, or maybe Curry is packaged to Denver for Carmelo Anthony. Again, now we're just, now, again, you can always eat more. You can't eat less. I feel like we're overdosing here on edibles. Do you think Russ Westbrook last night was popping some gummies? What was he doing? Maybe if he had become a New York Knick, maybe if Steph Curry were a Knick, the Knicks totally screw him up by now. The Knicks screw everything up. Maybe they screw up Steph Curry. Either way, thank God that guy is ours, because it's impossible to imagine the entire Bay Area sports landscape without Steph Curry. It's hard to imagine this place without Ayesha Curry. I mean, he is so synonymous with Bay Area sporting excellence now. It would be like, what if Joe Montana stayed another year in Notre Dame? I mean, what if he never showed up here? How much different things would have been? The guy is just absolutely amazing. Again, last night, a very quiet 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Out of the dude who's like the smallest guy in the court. The only aspect of his game that is better than his shooting, that is better than his handle, is his ability to just park that ego and a willingness to share the stage. There is no generosity quite like this anywhere to be found in sports. Hey, you just won a championship and back-to-back titles. Do you want to curb your game a little bit so we can assimilate this other guy in? Most people would say no. Steph Curry flew to the Hamptons to make sure that that happened. It really is extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. Thank God Steph Curry is ours. I think the whole premise of a What If Wednesday has to wrap up with, and thank God that never happened. Thank God that never, ever happened. Steph Curry to the Warriors is as important as, Steph Curry to the Warriors is as important as electricity to the internet. it's somewhere around there. Jeff is in Pleasanton. Jeff, you're on 95.7 The Game. I guess not. Our phone system is just phenomenal this afternoon. 888-957-9570 if you'd like to step into a phone system that we're sort of working on. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. I can guarantee that everything's going to be okay next segment. Kirk Morrison is going to join us. Love Kirk. There is no doubt where Kirk was last night. He was on his couch watching the Warriors. He is a huge, huge Warrior fan, along with being a big Warriors fan. He is also pre- and post-game host for the Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams are coming to Levi's Stadium this weekend to do another sort of flexing. Not flexing out of a time slot, but flexing all over a defense that just seems to be setting itself up for a very, very long afternoon. That's why a little bit later this afternoon, we're going to be talking with Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman has been an individual outstanding performer on a group that has underperformed massively around him. This guy, Richard Sherman, didn't come here to not compete for playoff opportunities and championships, and maybe that's where the future will lie. But in the meantime, I'm wondering if Richard, who is not signed up for just a year here, he's in this for the long haul. At what point does Richard Sherman want to see, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if he's getting burned. You got to play Witherspoon, because you got to know one way or the other by the end of this year about Witherspoon, about Colbert, about Solomon Thomas. Like Solomon Thomas should be playing. I guess there's two ways to look at this. You could say he's not good enough, don't play him anymore. Or you say, we really need to make sure he's not good enough. You need to play him all the time. In a lost year, running experiments position by position isn't exactly a lost cause. As a matter of fact, it might be the right thing to do. That's probably a tough sell for some of the veterans in the locker room, though. Richard Sherman at 5:30 tonight. Really looking forward to that. At 6 o'clock, we're going to be playing a name game for a little NBA 2K19 version for Xbox, they tell me. So if you've got an Xbox, think of the name game a little bit later on today. Kirk Morrison, though, that's the name you need to know, and he's coming up next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show, and welcome back to a good friend of the Damon Bruce Show, good friend of the Bay Area, a son of the Bay Area, Kirk Morrison, 8-year NFL vet. You can catch him doing Rams pre and post game. You can catch him all over your dial. This is the man, the myth, the legend. He comes to us to talk a little football, but I know Kirk well enough to know that basketball was on his mind last night because the Warriors got back out running. How you doing, Kirk?
I'm doing good, Damon. How we doing today?
Doing fantastic. Had a little ring ceremony last night. We had holograms involved. We have a piece of jewelry, which is reversible, I think, for the first time in sports history. It's always something new with this franchise.
I mean, wouldn't you have it? We wouldn't have it any other way, right? The Silicon Valley, the Bay Area, just everything that we do is just different than the rest of the world. But, you know, looking at that ring, man, that ring looks spectacular. You can just, you know, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, maybe you wear it on one side, then you flip it over on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, it's just fun to think of what the Warriors have done, and then to hang that banner, you know, 2016-17, and then the 17-18 banner. And it's like, okay, we need one more banner to close out the Oracle Arena the right way. So, you know, that's what I thought yesterday was. I mean, the history is there. You know, what we've done over the last, four seasons, you would say, has been great. But I think this one is about closing out Oracle the right way. That's the way I'm viewing this season.
It would be great. You know, we were talking about it yesterday. Who's the first person that ever brought you to Oracle Arena?
Wow, the first person, I would have to say, was my mom. She was a huge, you know, Al Attles fan, you know what I'm saying? Atlas, you know, she was a huge fan. So I would say my mom, man, we used to sit all the way at the top, and it was fun, dude, just to watch Warrior games back in the day, because it was those iconic uniforms, you know, the white on white or block letters. And, you know, they weren't the best of teams, but it was still fun, man. We made that Oracle Arena an environment that people just, you wanted to go, you wanted to show up, you wanted to have fun. And now, when they get good, it's like, wow, it just kind of brought me back to my childhood for sure. So many nights that we would go to the games and watch.
It's a great building that they're just not going to make another one like that when it's gone. That's for sure. Speaking of new buildings, I know the Rams, that thing is rising out of the ground next to the Forum. It's amazing to see this thing come up. You're playing at the Coliseum right now, and it looks like that place gets filled with like 80, 85,000 people for a Rams game. Will there be some romantic goodbye to the Coliseum in any way, shape, or form, or are the Rams too close to being new tenants once again for anyone to get mushy about it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult. Only thing is that because they have, you know, the rest of this 2018 season, and then you have one more season. Remember, all of 2019, at the L.A. Coliseum before they move over to the new stadium in Inglewood in 2020. It was supposed to open in 2019, but like we never prepare for the El Nino rains, right? That came to us last year that ultimately pushed back the project for a year. And so it actually even pushed the Super Bowl rotation a year because the Rams were supposed to get the Super Bowl in 2020, and that thing had to get pushed back. So, look, they've kind of done some upgrades, and they've just turned the L.A. Coliseum that, you know, it's not the best place to watch an NFL game. It's more of a college-type setting. But they've turned it, and they've done, I think, a good enough job to kind of make it feel like a home field atmosphere. But yet, I don't think it's going to be that ceremony when they leave. When they go over to Inglewood, it's going to be totally different. I think people just know that this kind of you're kind of just renting before you move into the home that you buy.
Our pal Kirk Morrison here on the Damon Bruce Show, and if the stadium is a little behind schedule, there's no doubt the team is way ahead of schedule. This is really a special football team. I was surprised to see this game flexed off of Sunday night, not because the 49ers didn't beg to be flexed off, but just because the Rams are in it, and the Rams are the only undefeated team in all of football. People are captivated by Patrick Mahomes. I say the Rams, they might not have Patrick Mahomes, but they also have a defense, and that's what makes them pretty darn interesting. This is a very good team coming into Santa Clara, taking on a 49er team that just cannot change its luck.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, I think the biggest thing with the flex is just the records. You know what I mean? It's just hard to put that record up there. You know, in those standalone games,
yeah,
they usually have the records that stay up there the entire game. So someone turns on the channel and they see, you know, 1-5 or 6-0. It's like, okay. And then the possibility of, like, the Rams scoring too much and it turned into a blowout that people will possibly turn off now with the NBA now started. You know, Major League Baseball is going. So you want to kind of put the most competitive game that they feel like that they can. And right now we can't lie and say that Patrick Mahomes has kind of captured the NFL by storm the way that they're scoring points. Tyreek Hill the other night against the Patriots, I mean, we saw him on Sunday night and we're like, wow, we get this. Now we get it again for another week against a team that's actually pretty good in Cincinnati. I get why the NFL did it. And I think with the Rams, they'll get theirs in return in terms of, you know, they got some other games coming up. That they'll be on the national scene, but I know how devastated the people down in San Fran are, Damon. I mean, I felt it, you know, down here in Los Angeles where they had so many things, you know, kind of planned for that night and the throwback jerseys and the Dwight Clark statue,
yeah,
and all of that. And, you know, to me, that's the hard part as a kid growing up in the Bay Area. You know, for me, you know, I wasn't a Niner fan, but I respected the organization and what it stood for and, you know, the things that they – well, the success that they had. And so I remember those uniforms. I wasn't a Niner fan, but I said, darn, those are some cool uniforms. So, you know, for me, I kind of understand, you know, the kind of the disappointment by a lot of 49er fans, how big this game was. And, you know, for them to have that Sunday night game be taken away, yeah, I know that's a tough one.
As you sit around watching this Rams offense just fire on all cylinders, I mean, Gurley's been amazing. I don't even know if Goff is an amazing quarterback, but the system that he's in, he seems to fit perfectly right now. And it looks like McVay has brought out the best in him. You've been around a lot of coaches in your life. You've played for good coaches. You've played for average coaches. You probably played for a few bad coaches along your way too, Kirk. What makes McVay special? I mean, this guy, at such an early age, seems to be playing chess while a lot of the rest of football is playing checkers.
You know, Damon, I think really the biggest thing is that he's willing to fall on the sword for everyone, and I think that's huge. And when I say that is, you know, you'll never hear him criticize a player before, you know, someone asks about a player's mistake in the game. He's willing to come out and just say, no, that's not on him. I got to make a better call in that situation. You know, last week, Jared Goff didn't have his best of games, and yet the coach comes out and says, I put Jared in bad situations. That's on me. You know, I'm backed up in a situation, you know, near my own end zone. I'm calling a pass play where their defensive line is bearing down and we can't get a solid snap count. That's on me as a coach. Like, that's the thing that makes players, Damon, like, I like this dude because no one else would get that but yet the coach explains it, and it makes the players want to fight that much more for a coach who's willing to put you in the best situation possible to succeed.
So isn't that a really good answer if I ask you a question about John Gruden next? I mean, because John Gruden is over there just putting anybody under the bus that he could find. If he can use your name in a press conference, he might say it twice.
And that's the crazy part about it is because Sean McVay is of the, you know, the John Gruden, you know, coaching tree. And they're, when they talk, they actually sound a lot alike, but yet the substance that comes out of their mouth is totally different. You know, John Gruden is, you know, we're building and, you know, we're not tanking and we're this and that and we need a better pass rush. And, you know, it's just like, it's tough, Damon. And I've talked to some guys on the team as well. And, you know, a couple guys told me, hey, it's not John Gruden. Look, this team is just, we're young. We're inexperienced in a lot of places.
They're not young. They're not young at all. They're the oldest team in football.
They're young in some places where they need to be older. You know what I'm saying? they need to be better. And that's the reason why they brought in the veteran guys, because the younger guys who they were trying to, you know, kind of lean on are just not ready yet, or not even ready yet, just aren't there yet. And that's why he brought in the older guys, but yet some of the older guys, you know, are a little bit too old now. So it's like, wow, it's different, though, Damon. I really don't understand what John Gruden has been, you know, what he's doing in terms of kind of tearing that team apart. That was, to me, on the verge, I thought, of being a very consistent, you know, I would say leader in that AFC West for many years, and yet now it's a total rebuild. And, you know, if I'm a free agent, and this is where it comes in, if I'm a free agent, do I want to play for John Gruden from what I've seen? And look, it could be totally different inside those walls of that facility, but we all know that perception sometimes is a reality. And if I'm a free agent outside of Oakland and I'm looking at what they're doing, and the way that this season is going, and I got a coach that may, you know, put my name in a report or a, you know, a press conference, I'm not so sure I want to go over to that side of the Bay Area and play football.
Ooh.
So I'm just thinking, I'm just looking at players. Think about it. You know, you look at one side and you look at the other side and Kyle Shanahan and what they're doing. Look, obviously devastated and Garoppolo's out, but you look at the way that they played on Monday night and you look at the way the Raiders played in London on Sunday, and you tell me who's the better team.
Thank you very much. Kirk Morrison just dropping a little science for us here. He understands these things as an 8-year NFL vet. Again, he does Rams pre- and post-game. Very interesting tangent on Gruden and the Raiders. And an awful lot of people are listening to you, Kirk, just nodding their head, agreeing with you. Getting back to this side of the Bay, Richard Sherman's going to be joining me a little bit later on today. When he signed with the 49ers, I knew that they were going to get a lot of experience and a veteran leader. What I didn't think they were going to get is a bona fide shutdown corner that hasn't missed a step since tearing his Achilles. I mean, it's really been amazing watching this guy play, and I don't know if people are still afraid of him or they're just taking the path of least resistance, which is basically anywhere else in the secondary that Richard Sherman isn't. Do you think Goff and McVay try to test Richard Sherman a little bit just because that's the way they roll down in L.A.?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They're not afraid of anybody. They're going to go at, I mean, they're limited, but they're not afraid of anybody because of their offense the way it is. And so the one thing that may hurt their offense this weekend is that Cooper Kupp, they're one of the receivers, and I call them one of the receivers because they don't have a number one guy. It's 1A, 1B, and 1C. All three of them are number one wide receivers, and Robert Woods, Brandon Cook, Cooper Kupp. Kupp will be out a couple weeks with a strained knee. So the thing with lean ligament, so with that being said, which guy will Richard Sherman, you know, pretty much guard, or which guy will be, he'll have in coverage? Because the Rams, we know, like to go downtown. And if there's one thing that Richard Sherman probably can't do what he was good at earlier in his career, is probably run with those deep routes, deep over routes. So we'll see what the Rams cook up for him. But, I mean, to your point, though, Damon, I've watched him this season, and he's a vet, man. He's a crafty guy. It's one thing when a guy knows what's coming to as well, and that he's seen so much football, just like Tom Brady. When these guys have seen, even Aaron Rodgers on Monday night, guys have been playing this game for so long. It's like, okay, I know when you line up on the numbers, you can only run two routes. You can run an in or a deep out. That's it. Like, it's just process of elimination that certain veterans have, and if they can still react to it, that's why they're still on top of their game. That's where Richard Sherman is.
Todd Gurley, meanwhile, is like Thurman Thomas reborn in 2018. This guy is unbelievable. Like, I knew he was good. I knew he helped an awful lot of people win fantasy leagues last year. But I always want to say, you know, show it to me year after year after year here. I think I've seen enough from Gurley to say that there is no doubt he is on that 1A line in running back pecking order in this league right now. Sorry, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with you. I still think Le'Veon is more dynamic than Todd. You know, Todd is a great running back, and what he's doing out of the backfield, you know, definitely shows that he's an all-around back, and even still doesn't get enough credit for what he does on third down and in passive situations, Damon. I mean, I've literally seen him hit a couple guys. I'm like, okay, that pass is not completed by Goff if Todd Gurley doesn't make that block. But then I'll throw at you this. I just think Le'Veon can still play wide receiver too, though. Line up and be a real threat at wide receiver, where is, you know, Todd Gurley is more of a screen pass guy or a check down guy, where Le'Veon can actually run routes like a wide receiver that you have to do. So I think the edge on just the playmaking ability still goes to Le'Veon, but I mean, it's not like, you know, Todd's that far behind. I mean, he's still right there. He's a more of a bigger back and a thicker back. And so that's where he gets the edge, is that when he's downhill, a lot of guys are making business decisions, Damon, on do I tackle this guy or do I just try to shoot my shot and get out of bounds? That's where, you know, Ty Gurley has the edge, man. He's 6'3", 230 pounds, and he is coming downhill, brother. I would want no parts of that, I'll tell you that.
Love talking ball with Kirk Morrison. Man, this has been fantastic. Getaway question is this, and I hope you enjoyed as much as any other question this whole interview. What's the best concert you ever saw at Oracle Arena?
Oh, best concert I ever saw. Man, if you ever get a chance, Google the Hot Boys concert. I believe I was a junior in high school. It was the Hot Boys concert. You know why it was the best concert? Because they couldn't even have a concert. It was so packed, and it was just a big brawl that ended up starting up. And it was probably my most memorable concert because the concert didn't even happen. It was just too much going on. So if you ever Google that or find out the Hot Boys concert, the Hot Boy Tour, I believe it was my junior, senior year of high school.
Who were the acts on the Hot Boy Tour?
Yeah, so the Hot Boy Tour was Juvenile. It was Lil Wayne. This was when Lil Wayne was part of a group still, when he wasn't like the single solo act. So it was a funny time in my adolescence, I'll tell you that.
Did you throw a punch at the Hot Boy concert?
Nah, man. No. I went to Catholic school, man. You don't want to throw no punches. But no, all right, but honestly, outside of that though, I think one of the best concerts I did go to, I saw Mariah Carey. And she was fantastic. Mariah Carey at the Oracle, man. One of the bright spots I've seen at the Oracle in terms of concerts.
She can hit a note or two, no doubt about it. Hey, Kirk, thanks very much for your virtuoso solo performance here today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, all good, Damon. Talk to you soon, brother.
Kirk Morrison, awesome stuff. Great guy. Always a pleasure talking to him. We got an awful lot coming up for you in an hour from now. Richard Sherman of the San Francisco 49ers is going to join us talking about his outstanding individual season and the rest of the year for the 49ers, not exactly following him down the path of success, but there's quite a bit coming up with Richard Sherman in an hour from now. I'm really looking forward to that. It is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area. Since 1922, the Warriors picked up their rings last night in what I think we all acknowledge was an odd tone for a season opener. It was not Oracle Arena as we know it. There are a lot of things that go into that, and certainly the choppiness of last night's game is as responsible for the lack of feeling in that building at certain times. And there are times, look, where there's no doubt there's only one place in the world you can be, Oracle Arena, and it gets loud. But it's not that constant stream of ovation at all times. And of course it isn't, because people got a little used to winning around here. And that's nothing to really apologize for. But you ought to understand that with that comes a different set of circumstances. And I think one of the circumstances that kept anyone from really getting into that game last night was you had a whole bunch of NBA officials blowing whistles all over the court. I mean, 29 personal fouls. That's the most amount of fouls against the Warriors in any single game from last year. So they've already been called for more in the first game than all of last year, and that's playoffs included. Meanwhile, some great stuff from Kirk Morrison. His opinions on Kyle Shanahan and how different he is from John Gruden and McVay matter. I mean, they really matter. And when he talks about how there could be a real, real disconnect between free agents looking at the Raiders as a real destination, that's something that you got to figure, man. John Gruden is not playing well. Publicly, privately, in any circle. You know, if you thought that this guy was going to be the Pied Piper of let's go be a relevant Raider, it's not happening. Maybe it will someday, but it's not happening right now. What is happening right now down in Los Angeles is a 3-1 Dodger lead over Milwaukee. Last night, obviously, Manny Machado was trending everywhere, right? I mean, He scored the winning run, and he's definitely a talented baseball player, but years ago, the scuffle that he got into with Josh Donaldson sort of set the tone of him being a little bit of a dirty player, and last night, he raked the foot of the first baseman in clear, intentional fashion. This created a little bad blood down at Chavez Ravine, and I know that everyone was upset with each other last night, and they asked Craig Counsell what they thought of Manny Machado, and he's like, guy, he doesn't even play hard. Took a real nice shot at him. Dallas Braden was so offended by the whole thing, he took video of it and narrated this video, and let's just say he's calling Bush League on the whole thing.
That right there, that's all you need to know about Manny Machado. As much as you want to defend this cat, you just can't. Great player. / player. Oh, what do you got? Drop foot all of a sudden? Huh? Yeah, probably not, guy. Get that getaway stick up there, huh? And clear out. You look down. Look at those eyes. Look at those eyes. Look down. If you're looking down and looking at that bag, you know to pick your foot up. Instead, the entire world sees that toe come dragging through the baseline to clip Aggie on purpose. Horse, bro. Ronda Rousey wore it better.
He's talking about his hair at the end of that. Ronda Rousey wore it better. But that's Braden holding zero back. And I love Braden because he holds zero back. He holds zero back when he was actually pitching and someone walked across his mound. That guy is just going to tell you what's what when he sees it. And that was Bush League. I tell you, there is a major problem that baseball has that needs to be acknowledged. That problem is... Look, if you were watching that game last night, and that game was on when I got back from the Warriors game. So that game went like 5-6 hours last night. The problem is, unless you are a Dodgers fan or a Brewers fan, it's a really bad feeling that you're watching a game and the number one feeling you have as someone who's watching is, all right, wrap it up already. Like, only Major League Baseball deals with that. Okay, just let me go to bed is not the overwhelming feeling you want amongst the people who are watching. Baseball pushes away the casual fan the deeper it gets into its postseason. It's so weird. It's so weird. And last night there wasn't a drop of situational hitting. The whole thing was rough to watch. It really, really was. I'm glad that I spent most of my night watching the Warriors, which was also a rough watch, but not nearly as bad as the NLCS. The ALCS will continue a little bit later on tonight. It's amazing. All this baseball seems to be happening pretty much off the radar. Like, is America breathlessly hanging on the results of these games? I think the answer is like a collective and definitive no. America was much more interested in about talking Manny Machado raking a Brewers first baseman foot than it was actual baseball. It's a weird world we're living in. There is no doubt about it. A very interesting story is sort of breaking out of the NFL right now. Chargers viability in Los Angeles is a topic amongst owners at the owner meeting that is going on right now. Jeez, who could have predicted that besides everyone? We'll have more on that in just a little bit. More of your calls as well, 888-957-9570. Even though Gianna is out, it's time for a 5 before 5. And what do you know? The Bouton Vixen herself is ready to go. Elena will handle our ceremonial 5 before 5 duties coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It's the headlines, the deadlines, and a few stories that slipped through the cracks. Some people want to know where Gianna is. She with the she hit the Powerball and the Mega Millions. She's a billionaire. She doesn't need us anymore now, and so she left us. Not Gianna. Gianna out, a little under the weather. She'll be back hopefully tomorrow. In the meantime, oh, have I got an understudy for this play tonight for you? The one and only Bouton Vixen is ready to go.
What up, Damon?
Hi, Elena.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. So let's get this 5 before 5 kicked off. And it's sponsored, of course, by the California Academy of Sciences, where you can journey through a rainforest, outer space, and the deep sea all in one day.
Number one.
Damon, last night, the big story of the night, I thought, was the Warriors' big men. Damian Jones had 27 minutes, looked athletic. He had that lob and dunk, which the Warriors love to do, those lobs from Draymond. Kevon Looney, first career double-double, plus 23, 8 offensive boards. Did you miss Zaza or JaVale in that game after those performances?
I need to be honest with you. You just said his name, and that's the first time I've thought about him since the parade. I love you, Zaza, but out of sight, out of mind. I don't think he was missed anywhere with his beautifully executed moving screens. The Warriors' big men were good last night, and Damian Jones looked every bit the part of a guy who can run with this starting five as it's currently built until he gets upgraded by Boogie Cousins. In the meantime, he's bigger than I remember. His shoulders have been rounded off. He's hit the weight room. Very impressed by him. I like Jordan Bell. And Kevon Looney, 8 offensive rebounds. Dude, that's going to win a lot of games.
I believe that was 4 more than Steven Adams.
There you go. Steven Adams is a huge dude as well. And for Damian Jones just be going toe-to-toe with him, no big whoop, that's a really nice sign.
Yeah, I love it.
Number two.
So the Warriors get their 3rd championship rings. They were pretty dope. You know, they had the first reversible rings, but like... Yay. What I really liked about it is they had 56 stones on the team side to represent 56 years in the Bay. Yay. They also had the town logo with the tree, the Oakland tree, which represents Oakland. I really liked that. Damon, the whole spectacle was nice. You were there. Who was having the most fun? Do you like this ring most out of all the others? And tell me more about this hologram, because it wasn't shown on TV, and I need to know more about the hologram.
Okay, so the hologram was a representation of the back-to-back trophies, and the trophies would sort of morph into the ring and then go back. It was really kind of cool, but I guess you have
trippy.
It plays better in person than it does on TV. And if you're behind the hologram, you cannot see it at all. You can only see it from certain projected angles, I'm guessing. But I've never seen anything like that, and I thought it was pretty cool. The overall evening was it had a little bit of a weird tone to it, but it was very cool. The rings are cool. When Mark Spears was on with me from the Crown Royal Club, and he told us that they were spinners. Like, I thought they were going to spin like a top. I didn't think they were going to pop open. And someone said that the reversible thing is a little gimmicky. I've also heard someone say that the reversible thing is the coolest way to represent back to back. You can like have it either way. And so, look, it's certainly unique. And what I really hope is that Nick Young doesn't lose the top of his ring whenever he comes to pick it up, because I would say Nick Young will be the clubhouse leader for my ring broke apart and I'm missing the top half of it, of the Golden State Warriors championship season last year. So we'll wish Nick Young the very best of luck with this newfangled ring. And what's really cool about it is you can put your weed in it. There's like a little compartment in there. You can.
Yeah.
My man, McGee, they hated us.
I do kind of miss them.
Yeah, well, look at it this way.
Maybe not on the court.
I miss that more than I miss him.
Yeah, and if we got Damian Jones doing the lobs, there we go. Stay in L.A., JaVale.
Oh, bye. The kid can play.
Rebound. Grab. Blocked by Jones. Grab by Klay Thompson.
The kid can play.
Number three.
Damon, have you seen the new website? Is GrudenGoneYet.com?
Yes, it's incredible.
It is really good. Let me just open it up right here. He's made 50. Oh, it's going up too fast. It tells you how much money he's made since you've arrived to the website and how much money he's made total and how much he's still owed.
How much is John Gruden still owed on this Cracker Jack contract?
It's moving real quick, but I don't even know. $92,219,018.
That's it?
Can read that correctly.
Only 92 million left?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad.
So it's pretty sad. I mean, like, every time the Raiders season started to go down the drain or another Raiders coach was struggling, John Gruden was always supposed to be the answer. Fans would cry for John Gruden because the member berries of the last successful time. Like, what do we cry for now? Vegas?
Oh.
I'm crying for just saying bye.
No, I think if you're a Raider fan, the last thing you're really going to cry for is the lawyers that you hope will successfully sue the NFL to keep the name and image of the Oakland Raiders, property of the city of Oakland, which would be the biggest slice of schadenfreude ever served up to a guy who tried to take a team from one town to another. Mark Davis would never want to own an NFL team if it weren't called the Raiders. And if that doesn't happen, it's going to be hard not to belly laugh the entire time we talk about it. Also, if you really want to take this a step, like real fictional, too far down the road, this meeting that the NFL is now having about the viability of the San Diego Chargers in Los Angeles. Look, the NFL screwed this up. If you were allowing the Raiders to move anywhere, you should have allowed them to move back to L.A. because that would have absolutely worked down there. We would still have been screwed up here, but at least I would have understood it. You could have absolutely dumped the Chargers. The team that goes to Las Vegas is irrelevant. The concept of a team in Vegas is more relevant than who that team is. The concept of L.A. just having a second team is much more relevant depending on who that team is. The next team just can't be any team. Like, Vegas would have absorbed any team. It should have been the Raiders. And I don't know. I mean, like, the best time to get out of a really bad idea is immediately and ceasing desisting on everything and just telling everybody, like, whoa, 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 slow your roll, stop construction. We got things to talk about is what a great NFL commissioner would really do. We know that Roger Goodell is no great NFL commissioner, but this ain't gonna work. If you're looking for the elephant in the room, it is the West Coast move. Chargers, Raiders, this is built to fail, just like John Gruden's contract.
Maybe the Raider fans should put another full-page ad for Hugh Jackson. He's doing pretty well.
Number four.
Damon, we all thought the Niners had no chance at Lambeau on Monday, and they almost pulled off that upset. Now, this Sunday, they're up against the undefeated L.A. Rams on this Sunday. Are we giving Beathard, Breida, Goodwin a chance? And do you think the NFL flexing the Niners out of Sunday Night Football, or they're regretting it after they showed up on Monday in Green Bay?
No, I don't think they're regretting it based on the fact that Patrick Mahomes put on a hell of a performance just the night before on Sunday Night Football, and you're running ads for, hey, you're enjoying this Patrick Mahomes-Tom Brady game? Well, stick around, because next week, same time, it's another Patrick Mahomes game, and I'm sure they were more than happy to sell that. It is too bad that Dwight Clark is going to be backseated in terms of a national topic. He would have gotten an awful lot of national love. The light on the on his preferred charity would have been fantastic, but it's not meant to be, and neither is the 49ers' chance to win this game. It's not meant to be. I mean, if you can't understand that undefeated against this undefeated has to have the advantage, the Rams are too good on both sides of the ball to say that the Niners got a shot. It's a home game, but that's no great home field advantage. I like the Rams, and I don't even know what the line is, but I think I like the Rams to cover.
Yeah, I was really rooting for the Niners in that last game on Monday, and you know I'm not a Niner fan, but I just wanted a little bit of moral support for CJ and the guys. They're trying so hard out there.
Number five.
Damon, you like the Cubs and you like tacos, right?
Yes, on both.
Well, are you familiar with the Wrigleyville Taco Bell, which is located right across the street from Wrigley?
Yes, I am.
Well,
yes,
it's being demolished.
Yes, it is.
This month, or next month, to make room for more development, pave Paradise and put up a parking lot, Damon.
Yeah, but it's just a Taco Bell. I mean, I think we can get, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, but like, think about when you're going to a game, you drink a lot of beer, and then Taco Bell, maybe not for you, because I know you're not super into Taco Bell, but that's people's, like, munchy food.
I hear you. And you're looking for a cheap option, which it is.
Yeah, and there's a Taco Bell across the street from the Coliseum, which is also similar to munchy food. But instead, a neighborhood bar is planning a wake for the Taco Bell. So the bar doesn't serve food. They're encouraging attendees to bring Taco Bell. It's on October 28th, and they're all going to celebrate the Taco Bell in a wake as it goes away.
Wow.
What do you think?
So, au revoir, adios, Mexi Melt.
See.
Adios, gorditas.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Not
remember
here.
Those commercials? Those
not
were
anymore.
Good.
Man, that's a. It's. The company's going to be okay. And honestly, there used to be a McDonald's right outside of Wrigley. There is now a like 4-star hotel out there. Like Wrigleyville's changed an awful lot. But the good news is the Cubs never moved, and that's more important than anything else. As we've realized recently. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We've got Richard Sherman coming up a little bit later on at 5:30 tonight. Really looking forward to that conversation, and I hope you are too. Looking forward to conversations with everyone. 888-957-9570. Waiting the longest has been Dre in Oakland. Dre, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, Damon. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I'm a season ticket holder. I sit down in the 102 section, and there's a few reasons I think why the last night was kind of off. You know, and by the way, I think maybe the ring ceremony might be cool after the game. I don't know. But as far as like the crowd and the feel, I was talking to another guy up in the club, and what Oracle is going to become this year is what the Stick was a few years back. It's going to become a tourist attraction. A lot of people that have never been in there or haven't been in there in 10, 20 years are going to go there, and season ticket holders are selling their tickets because they can get a higher price for them right now because it is the tourist attraction. Everyone wants to have that last banner or the last card that says farewell season. So there's that, and you know, sitting there down in the section, no one looked familiar. Everyone was looking around like it's the first time they've been in there, and they're in awe.
I always think you can tell how many season ticket holders are in the building when they get to the Rockets' red glare portion of the national anthem and they fire the flames. The amount of the jump in that building because they weren't expecting it is a good indication of, have we got a Johnny-come-lately crowd in here, or do we got the OGs? And last night was Johnny-come-lately.
Right. And then the other thing is, like, you know, we used to buy tickets to the Warriors because we were hoping for the best. We knew, you know, it might be a difficult night when Jordan came to town or anybody, the Lakers. And we went there, we spent the $30-$40 at the time, and we were hoping for the best. So when they pulled off an upset or it got close with 3 seconds left and someone hit a jumper, the place went crazy. People buy tickets now because they're winning.
Oh, that's right. It was, look, there is an expectation. Right. That comes with the purchase of a Warrior ticket now that used to not exist when you bought a Warriors ticket. You expect to be up comfortably by about 22 points. Whatever you had not accomplished in the first half is instantly accomplished in the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, because that's the way the Warriors do it. The Thunder coming out and winning the third quarter last night, people are like, wait a minute, is this broken? What's wrong? This isn't the way it's supposed to go. Yeah, these are different times we're living in, no doubt about it. 888-957-9570 is the number. More of your calls. Welcome next hour. Richard Sherman is going to join us next hour. And if you're wondering when next hour is going to start, the answer is now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.